Welcome to the Maze Marketing Podcast. This isn't another podcast about marketing tricks or hacks, but about building effective marketing systems, beating marketing overwhelm, and communicating your expertise with your hosts, Rob Drummond and Jonathan Wilson. So we hear a lot of the time that the money is in the list, and we all know that we need to be growing our email list. But the question is how do you entice people to opt in for your email list? Traditionally, one of the ways that we would do that is through offering some kind of report, some kind of lead magnet, some kind of PDF incentive for people to opt in. And the humble special report has taken a bit of a battering in internet marketing circles in the last few years. A lot of people saying it's harder than ever to get people to opt in. So I really wanted to drill down into this because sometimes this is true, sometimes it's not true. So today I've got James Daniel on the call. So I've known James for a few years. So James is a copywriter. I was first introduced to James by helping him write a lead magnet for one of his clients. And I drafted this lead magnet. I sent it to James for some feedback. And his feedback, and I quote, was, "It's fairly good. I've only done a minor hatchet job on it." So, which was reassuring. So, you know, I think James is an excellent copywriter. He's a particularly good copy editor, and he's got a lot of experience creating lead magnets that really work. So, James, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Rob. I apologize if I was that that brutal with the first our first ever job together.
Well, you know, it worked out all right at the end, I guess. So,
absolutely, yeah.
So, yeah. Perhaps you can just tell people listening a little bit about your background and how you got into doing what you do.
Sure, yeah. I mean, this in itself could take several years, but I'll put it this way. I guess the ideal background for a copywriter is you've either come from sales or marketing or journalism. I've come from all three because I had this very, very strange sort of background where I was just completely sort of devoid of any kind of sense of direction. I'm a writer first and foremost, so I started out as a journalist and realized that I hated it. I just sort of then took a sales job in order to fund the rest of my writing. You know, I was writing comedy skits and sitcoms and so on at the time as well. And that led to a career in the corporate world. And I ended up as business development manager in the cable industry. So that was sort of 9 years. So by my mid-30s, my CV looked like one of those cars where you've got two halves sort of welded together that don't actually, you know, fit. Mm-hmm. It didn't make any sense at all. And the recruiter said to me, "Mate, I don't know what to do with you. I don't know how to position you. You know, you've got two careers half begun here, you know." But I did have 18 years as a writer as part of that. And then I realized that copywriting was the missing link, that it sort of just, it made sense of everything. You know, that it's got the writing side, the creative side, you know, and also the business side, marketing and so on. So that's kind of how I got into the crazy game. And, you know, through did some training, did a diploma, read every book I could get my hands on. It just worked for me. I mean, I milked my contacts and I haven't really had a dry spell since. I've been pretty fortunate.
Great. So what's your experience been with lead magnets then over the last few years?
Okay, so it's a funny thing. When I started out, when I put up my first copywriting website in 2006, I just put up, you know, as everyone did back then, just a little thing saying, "Join our newsletter." And, you know, just an enticement that once a month we will send you some articles on copywriting. And we would sort of mail it out, and it would just be three or four articles in a newsletter, and nobody would read them all. A couple of people would read one or two. But when I put that up there on the website, to my absolute astonishment, people signed up in their droves. Mm-hmm. I mean, looking back now from 2020, it sounds absolutely impossible that this happened. But we got to about 1,000 subscribers within a couple of weeks with no real effort at all. Just, you know, not just people I knew, but strangers finding it, you know, everyone that got to the site was signing up. I thought, well, this can't continue, surely, you know, this is madness. And sure enough, it didn't, because suddenly everybody cottoned on that you want to be collecting email addresses. And suddenly nobody was signing up, because if you think about it, just the promise of some future content is not very tangible.
No.
You know, because you don't know specifically which aspect of copywriting I was going to be talking about, and it's delayed gratification. So it doesn't really help anyone. So pretty soon people latched onto the idea of the lead magnet, you know. And I spent a long time getting this wrong, you know, trying a bit of this and a bit of that, you know, for a long time, just thinking, well, any kind of valuable content that you can offer, it's got to be worthwhile. It's, you know, it's as long as you're adding value and they get a sense of your expertise, then they'll appreciate you and they'll pick up the phone and say, can I hire you, please? Mm-hmm. And it's just not the case, you know. So I toyed with all kinds of lead magnets. Some that show people how to write their own copy, some that show you how to choose the right copywriter, giving away books, giving away reports, giving away videos and audios and so on. And, you know, they all worked a little bit, but, you know, all sort of variable results. And it wasn't really, I think, until the work that we did together, where we were sort of contracting for a digital agency in London, and we were churning out lead magnets en masse. It wasn't really until then that I started to do some sort of proper analysis of the different types of lead magnets that that we were creating and the results that they were getting. So we could say, okay, this type is working, this type not so much, this type works for this kind of business.
It's a range of clients as well, isn't it? You start to see different situations and different applications as well.
Yeah, exactly that. So, you know, it's not just about if you're in this sector, this is the type of lead magnet. It's you know, what's your own customer base and perhaps even your own values and the way that you project yourself as a business. But you know, I whittled it down to about a dozen different types of lead magnets that seem to be working. And I don't think there's a single business I can think of that would say any one of those 12 would work for them. But I would say that pretty much any business, you could get at least 3 or 4 of them to work for you, you know.
Okay.
I mean, do you want to sort of talk through?
Let's maybe talk through a couple of them, and then perhaps we can invite people to. I mean, is there a place that people can access this?
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm happy to provide a full copy of a report on of this.
Okay, well, let's dig into, I don't know, the top 2 or 3 and see where we get to.
Okay, I mean, I guess the obvious, the sort of the classic lead magnet, it's the one I call sort of instant karma. The idea of this is very simple. I will give you ideas that will help you to buy my stuff. So the easy example of that would be the butcher that gives you recipes for healthy eating. Yeah. So, you know, what you want is a healthy diet. What the butcher wants is for you to buy some meat from him. So he says, well, look, you know, here's some recipes. You've got to buy the meat in order to make for the recipes to work. So it's almost an instant transaction. Hmm. Yeah. There are other sort of tit for tat kind of examples, perhaps some of them not sort of quite as immediate as that, but you know, for example, if you do loft conversions, you might offer a guide on how to create a workspace at home. So, you know, in order to act on the information that you've been given, you've got to hire somebody to do your loft conversion. So, I mean, it's kind of instant-ish in that respect. It's not as quick as going to the butcher's for you know, a pound of chicken, but it's still the same kind of straight tit for tat kind of transaction.
Are you trying to think through the questions that people have on their minds in this circumstance? So they're buying a loft extension or something. It's like, well, what are the questions? What are they thinking about?
Yes, I think that the content that you would put into that would be almost like an extended Q&A. You know, sort of these are the things that perhaps 10 things that you will want to know, you know, common questions that are asked, things that you should ask, but you perhaps might not think to ask, you know, so it might be a mix of those things. You know, what you're doing is saying how to get the home office of your dreams, you know. And I guess one thing I'll say here as well is that some elements that we'll talk through here, Some of them mix and match. So, for example, the next type of lead magnet that I've had a good bit of success with is the sort of what I call the consumer champion type. And this might cross over into that sort of loft conversion thing. The consumer champion idea is that if you in your industry are the saint among sinners, then you're effectively saying, watch out. Yeah, you know, you don't necessarily have to hire me, but hire someone good. You know,
Watch out for this.
Yes. Mm. Now, this is effectively what I was doing when I put out my guide to hiring a copywriter. Yeah.
Desperately easy to hire a bad copywriter.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. You know, the report's called "Finding a Copywriter is Easy, but Finding the Right One is a Minefield." You know, which I think we all know to be true. So, the consumer champion idea effectively is you're exposing malpractice. Yeah. It's very, very easy with this one to come off as a little bit sort of embittered. Yeah. Like the sort of the crusty old type saying, these kids, they don't know what they're doing.
that's the aura I try to give off, to be honest.
Yeah. That's my entire marketing pitch. But so you have to be really careful with that. You have to be more like, you have to kind of rise above it. You know, and not be emotional about it, and just say, look, you know, you just need to know, perhaps even be magnanimous and say, look, there are some fantastic people in our industry. You know, no way am I saying that I'm the only person that can do this for you. But you know, if not me, go to one of the good ones. Hmm. Do not under any circumstances touch anybody who is going to XYZ, and you sort of expose the habits of malpractice. You know?
I feel like my most successful lead magnet sort of qualifies like this, only it wasn't exposing people in the marketplace. It was just more exposing Google, I guess. Hmm. That was called How to Waste £1,000 on Google AdWords in No Time Flat. and that was published in 2013, and that did really well for a while.
Yes.
It was kind of going after the malpractice that
yes.
Google was espousing and continues to espouse.
Yeah. And there's another type there of lead magnet that I call revelations, which is a kind of a did you know thing, which is all about. You've got some little known information to share, and perhaps that relates to something new that's come on the horizon, or a little known secret. You know, something that you're, you know, perhaps a hack or something, if you like, that people don't know about. Mm-hmm. So this is a perfect example of crossover, because it's a little bit sort of revelations, but did you know, and it's a little bit expose, consumer champion. Yeah. Mm.
I feel like the title's so important, doesn't it? Like the title's really got to make you curious to read it and read it now.
Yeah, it really has. And you know, I think very few people test with their lead magnet titles. Mm-hmm. If you look at the ads that you're running to send people to your landing page, you're probably getting some dynamite information there as to sort of, you know, what is going to be a suitable title for the lead magnet itself. But usually you create your lead magnet, you publish it, you pay a designer to do a nice cover for you and all the sort of 3D images and so on. You think, right, that's it. Now that's set in stone. Rather than, you know, it's not going to cost you a fortune to sort of think, okay, I've identified here, you know, this people are responding more to this title. Let's just, you know, just redo it and say this, it's now going under this title instead.
I think there's small changes that you can make as well. I feel like one of the reasons that my lead magnet worked was it was very specific. It was five ways to, it wasn't just some ways to, I could have just worded that slightly wrong, and it probably wouldn't have had anywhere near the same impact.
Yes, yeah, and it's a weird thing with numbers. You know, the psychology of numbers. You know, 3 or 5 or 7 or 10 or 12. I think of the sort of the classics, or the one single idea, the one big idea. You know, it also works really well. But you know, nobody ever does 4 or 6 or 8 or something. You know, it's bit of a weird thing, but yeah, it's having that sort of it just feels more tangible. Mm-hmm. And I think the reason that, that numbers like seven in particular works really well, because it doesn't look, if it's 10, then it feels like you've sort of rounded it up. So you only really have eight or nine useful things, but you thought, I'd better find another one. You know, seven feels like this is genuinely what you need to know.
Mm.
Although it's becoming overused now. And, you know.
Yeah, it also feels like too many as well. Because like, I don't know if you've kind of noticed this, but it feels like your lead magnet has to deliver a tangible benefit really quickly.
Yes.
Like I've tried giving away entire books and entire ebooks, and people don't want to read it, even if the ebook's great. Mm. I wondered if you had any thought on length and that sort of thing.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the thing. It depends on if you're doing like three things or five things or whatever it is. It depends on how big those things are. Yeah. Mm. Ultimately, your lead magnet's job is to help people to solve one very specific problem. Mm. Now, it could be that there are three ways to solve that problem. Five ways or whatever, but it is ultimately, it does have one overarching sort of problem solving goal. Yeah. In terms of length, I mean, I think this is a failing with a lot of lead magnets, is that they're too flimsy. They're a page of, you know, 10 top tips or something like that, and nobody's going to give up an email address for one side of a PDF. Not that length is necessarily the arbiter, but it's got to be weighty. It's got to be information that sort of packs a bit of a punch. Mm. You know, it doesn't matter if it's short, as long as there is some real weight to it. But usually, it's sort of, you know, a page of stuff that you could probably get the answer to from a Google search. I think lead magnets have let themselves down over the years by not having enough weight to them. But at the same time, exactly as you say, you don't want to be too long, because what people want, particularly if it's a PDF. You know, it feels like something that's quite sort of disposable. You know, it's sort of, I'll get into this now. I just want to get the answer immediately and move on. You know,
I found with PDFs that if people don't read it straight away, they add it to the digital desert that is their hard drive, and it immediately gets lost, and they never read it.
How many reports do you reckon you've got on your hard drive?
Gosh, I dread to think.
I mean, I can't imagine, but for me, it must be 400 or 500 at least. Yeah. And it's all stuff that I've downloaded in good faith and think I must read this one day, you know. But if you don't, yeah, you're right. If you don't read it immediately, then you won't read it at all.
I might print it out immediately if it's a sensible size.
Yeah. Yes. And this is why I think it is a good idea to have a physical lead magnet, but it very much depends on who you're targeting. You know, if it's a page on your website and anybody can find you through SEO, then you can go broke very quickly. If you're sending people something physical, you're paying to send it through the post.
Yeah.
But if you are targeting to a specific landing page that the search engines are not going to find, if you're targeting exactly who's going to get there, effectively they're there by invitation, then it can be very effective to have a physical thing, like, you know, giving away a book. You know, you and I have both written several books. I've run a few pages giving away my copywriting book, another one currently on preparing for your marketing campaign. And it works to actually pay the cost of the postage as well as the cost of the book, because you know that the right person has requested it. Whether that's, yeah, the right person in terms of they meet your criteria, so they saw your advert, or you've actually gone out there and specifically identified them and invited them to come to the page. But one way or another, you know that they're a high value prospect rather than just anybody that found you.
Something I used to do with my AdWords report on the five ways to waste £1,000 was, on the thank you page, I would offer a printed guide. Mm-hmm. That would only go in the mail, and it only got offered to people who had registered for the lead magnet. Mm. And I found that about half of the people who requested the lead magnet also requested the printed guide. Mm. Most of those people, and on the thank you page after that, there was an offer to book a free 30-minute consultation, and you get a sort of 70% of people maybe would book that. But it was a sort of filtering mechanism where you're not offering the printed thing to anyone, because wouldn't want to do that. I wondered if you'd done anything like that or experiments of the use of thank you pages in any way.
I'm just starting to do a lot more with that now, actually. Exactly as you say, you know, so, you know, anyone can have the digital download and, hey, would you like, you know, I talk about, say, with the book, you know, if you're a real touchy-feely person and you love that new book smell, you know, then, yeah, I'll tell you what, you pay the postage, I'll send you the book, whatever it is. And then moving that in itself up to another upsell, yeah, it is definitely effective. But I'm only just starting to sort of do that properly. It's something that has been on my radar for many years. You know, the sort of the tripwire process, and I've done it for clients, but I've never done it for my own business until
then. So is the way, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, but I think the psychology is there, isn't it? Because they've already said yes once, and yes. They said yes very recently, and obviously recency is a really important factor.
Absolutely.
You get so many thank you pages where it's like, thank you for requesting our report. Please check your email and make sure you check your spam folder. Yeah. and that's all it says.
But at the other end of the scale, you get some really annoying thank you pages where as soon as you sign up for something, you think, okay, yeah, you'll email it to me. You know, you might be, for example, you know, just browsing, browsing on your phone or something on Facebook, you see, oh yeah, that looks interesting. You sign up for it. It might be 10:30 at night. So you think, that's fine, I'll read that in the morning. But as soon as you do it, then it takes you to a page and expects you to watch a 2-hour video or something, you know.
Yeah, and instead of the next offer being maybe a book where you pay a penny plus shipping or something like that, it's a $100 course. And I'm like, well, I'm not going to spend $100 with someone that I've only just found on the internet.
It's got to go in increments.
Yeah, we just don't have that relationship yet.
Yeah, and I found with SaaS in particular, you know, software as a service, that it will take you through those increments very, very quickly. It's sort of okay, great. Here's your free access. Tell you what, while we're here, why not have this? And then if you sign up for that, sort of Oh, tell you what, actually, one more thing. Have this, you know, the things that have been. Video creation systems in particular are terrible for that, you know, video animation, stuff like that. It's sort of, okay, now get this expansion pack where you got all these characters.
I'm thinking of all of those color and, doodle programs where you can make doodle videos. It's like, you can buy the basic package for, you know, $20, but the whole thing costs about $200.
Yeah, and it suddenly starts to feel like Hotel California, you know, where you feel you're disappearing down this rabbit hole you'll never get out. You know?
So you can build a rabbit hole if you want, and I guess the lead magnet is like the gateway into that, and it's kind of up to you, and it depends on your business model, what you want to do.
It does. I think the problem is, this is one of the reasons why sign up rates have been tumbling for the last few years, is that people are just skeptical. They fear that they're going to get into that rabbit hole. And, you know, not every internet marketer is as ethical as you or I. You know, we both do single click opt out and you'll never hear from us again. Well, we know that's, you know, not everyone plays by the rules, and nobody wants to sort of end up on somebody's spam list getting sort of 100 emails a day. So, you know, that thing, it as effective as it is, I think it hurts everyone the way that it gets abused.
It's like if you register for most lead magnets, it's like buying a flight ticket from Ryanair, where the flight is, you know, £10, but then you have to navigate about 7 upsells on the way to the checkout.
Yes.
Or it's like buying business cards from Vistaprint. It's like £3 for 200 cards. But yeah, it's a ride.
Do you know, actually, that is a very effective type of lead magnet in itself, what you're just talking about there, the sort of, you know, the half a solution, if you like, where you're, what I liken this to is, you've seen in films where people are sort of struggling to get to the top of a mountain. And then they think, great, I'm here. And then they look up and they think, oh, shit, there's another summit there, sort of, you know, they realize they're not even halfway up. And you can do that quite effectively in a lead magnet, and in a way that doesn't feel like you're shortchanging people. You know, for example, you know, you help them to solve one problem, And people think, oh, great, yeah, I'm going to learn to solve this problem. But by solving that problem, all you're really doing them is taking them to the second base where now they've got another problem to solve.
You know? Well, most areas of knowledge are complicated. Like copywriting is complicated. Google Ads is complicated. It's like I can help you solve like a basic problem, but in a lead magnet of 5 pages, it's just going to illuminate the next level up, really.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I mean, Google Ads would be a good example of that. You know, where the first base, if you like, that you're being helped with in the lead magnet would be all about finding the right keywords. Mm. But then you realize that there's so much more to do, because now you've got to sort of structure your ad groups and you've got to work out your conversion tracking and so on. So it's all you're doing really is taking that first base to show your expertise and to show people that, you know, look, this is going to be much more involved than you've really reckoned on. So you're going to want to turn to me to help you to do it. You
know? Yeah. And it's illustrated that the rabbit hole runs deep. Yeah, which is one of the reasons why we do this podcast and
and so on.
But yeah, I mean, you know, if you follow along with enough of this episode, you realize how deep the rabbit hole is, and then that ultimately builds trust and creates demand for other stuff.
Yeah. So. But I mean, that is a very, very powerful type of lead magnet. And, you know, if you were to be cynical, you could say that it was a little bit sort of manipulative, I suppose. But I don't see it that way, personally. Well, I mean, you're solving the first problem.
It feels like every form of marketing is manipulation. Like you're always trying to manipulate someone, hopefully in a positive way.
Influence, I think.
Influence,
rather than manipulation. I think sort of influence is the sort of is the Jedi sort of area, and manipulation is the dark side.
Right.
I feel like a phony saying that, because I've never even seen Return of the Jedi. Yeah. I saw the first 2 Star Wars films and I haven't seen one since.
That's fair enough. No, I've seen the original ones, and that was enough, to be honest.
So, so I hope that my metaphor sort of stands up to scrutiny there. So, I wouldn't know if it does or not.
With lead magnets, do you think that talking about a pain that people have is more effective than talking about a gain that they might get?
That's an interesting one. I think it very much depends on what you're selling. Generally, I prefer positive marketing to negative, because I find that negative marketing is very.
It's a bit fear mongering.
I don't like. An example I always use is will writers. I was talking to a will writer this morning and saying, please tell me you don't do this. You know, the way that it almost feels like their copy is sort of pointing a finger in your face and telling you you're stupid. You know, it's sort of fact. If you don't leave a will, then the chancellor is going to come around and eat your children when you die. You know, and it's kind of saying like, and I knew that and you didn't because you're stupid, you know. And you wouldn't want to buy from that person even if they're right, because they're coming across like the sort of the happy bearer of bad news. I prefer the, you know, the positive approach to marketing wherever possible. But of course, you know, sometimes fear is a motivator. You have to have both. Sometimes people are motivated by what they want to run away from, and sometimes by what they want to run to. And it really is dictated by what you're selling in that respect.
I also feel like the problem is what gets people's attention, because that's what. So if you're running an ad to the lead magnet, you would talk about the problem, but then the lead magnet can provide the solution to the problem, maybe.
Yes. Yeah.
So you still have both elements. You still have to know what the problem is that you're solving.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I've had clients tell me, oh, you can't talk about problems. You can't have any kind of negativity in any part of the copy. And so, well, you know, you've got to focus people on what's eating away at them, you know, or threats that perhaps they're sort of hiding from or whatever. You have to do that. It's just how you put it across.
And that's just being responsible as well. It's like the analogy that I sometimes give is like if you were in your front garden and you saw a ball bounce over the fence and a child run out after the ball, and there's a van coming, you can see the child running out into the road. It's like you don't yell a positive message. Oh, watch out, look out for the van. It's a negative message, you know, like, because that's what gets attention and saves lives.
Yes,
so,
exactly.
So you're not being negative, you're being responsible. You're just looking after your customers. So.
Yes, exactly. It's simply a question of tone. And I think it's because I like marketing that comes across as helpful, whether it's talking about problems or aspirations. You can be helpful rather than coming across as predatory and cynical.
Yeah.
You know, but I think that's the differentiator, I think, between the two.
Good. Great. Where can people get a copy of your, is it 12 different types of lead magnets? I can't remember.
Yes, it's 12 lead magnets. So I don't actually have a landing page up for it specifically, but anybody who wants to email james@jamesthecopywriter.co.uk and just put lead magnets in the subject line, I will send it straight over to you.
And you're going to frantically go away and work on a landing page, an upsell page after that, right after this call.
I can promise I'm not going to do that. I won't even auto-subscribe people to my mailing list, but I will give them the option to jump on it.
And your website is jamesthecopywriter.co.uk, was it?
That's correct, yeah.
Okay, great. Good. Well, I think this has been really, really fun. And we'll have you back on to talk about something else soon, I hope.
Fantastic.
Thanks for coming on.
Thank you.
Cheers.
Yeah, great stuff. Thanks.
If you found this episode helpful, you can continue your education with us through our Maze Insider membership program. As a Maze Insider, you'll get our monthly print newsletter, a monthly members-only webinar, plus unlimited support from myself and Jonathan through our private Google group. Go to mazemarketingpodcast.com/insider and enter the promo code podcast at checkout for a free 1-month trial.